It's time for my end of the year reflections right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it's New Year's Eve. And we are live here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today. The end of the year 2012. Several times this year, I found myself asking, what year is it? 11, 12, 13? Where are we? And sometimes I had to think it through, actually, but it is the last day of 2012. And I'm so glad we could spend this New Year's Eve together. All right, here's the deal. I'm going to do something I've never done. Phone number 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Normally, on Fridays, we do You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers, and I always preface things by saying, feel free to ask me anything you want about any area of expertise that I have. But if it's an area I don't have expertise in, what's the use of asking me? All I can give you is an opinion, and maybe I don't even have an opinion. However, You can ask me about anything today. You can ask me about sports, the weather, how to fix a car. Let's try to be constructive. But feel free, anything you want to talk to me about, any issue you want to raise, any subject you want to put out for discussion with me, any question you have, the phone lines are open, 866-348-7884. Something you've been wondering about, didn't know if it was appropriate to call or not, go for it today. We will see which way we go. However, I do have a number of really serious things I want to talk to you about, some major issues facing us here, in particular in America, where the vast majority of our listeners are, but relevant to our listeners all around the world. I've got a list of issues that are concerning me and some solutions in terms of where we need to go as a church and as believers. Scheduled this week, We have a special broadcast coming your way tomorrow, New Year's Day. It's a day when I'll be on my way, God willing, to Hong Kong, as you know, to be teaching Chinese pastors from the mainland, teaching the book of Jeremiah to Chinese pastors. What a great privilege and opportunity. So we've got actually special broadcasting the first 2 days of the year. Very practical, very helpful, very down to earth. And then, God willing, on Thursday, coming your way live from Hong Kong, Thursday, Friday. So I'm excited about the days ahead. And then broadcasting, God willing, from Hong Kong all of the next week as well. So stay tuned. Don't miss a broadcast. If you miss any, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire, and you can listen to all of the shows afterwards. I want to function as best as I can as someone stepping back after 41 years serving the Lord, stepping back, looking at the society, looking at the church, seeking the mind of the Lord, and coming with some words of wisdom. I don't claim to be bringing infallible insights. I don't claim to be saying, thus saith the Lord, here are 10 things that I guarantee are going to happen in the next year, and if they don't, I'm a false prophet. No, I'm simply seeking to be a son of Issachar in the spirit of 1 Chronicles 12:32, to understand the times and know what Israel should do. In other words, to see what's happening in our society and to see what's happening in the church and to have some biblical wisdom as to how we should be responding. So I'm going to raise some of the issues that cause me greatest concern today in the body and in society. I'm going to lay out some of the key things that I believe we need to take hold of as believers, as followers of Jesus, as leaders in the body. And then I want to share some quotes with you that will stir your heart and I believe light a fire within you to go after God in a deeper and more serious way. And then your calls on any subject you want to talk to me about today right here on The Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us this New Year's Eve broadcast. Michael Brown coming your way live today right here on the Line of Fire. The number is always 866-348-7884. Anything you want to talk to me about, any subject at all you want to raise with me, phone lines are open without restriction. Obviously, we're not going to talk about something immoral or ungodly except to bring a godly perspective on it. When I say nothing's off limits, I mean you can raise any subject that's within the bounds for Christian radio, because I don't know who's tuning in today. And you think, oh, great. No. There are boundaries. Rasmussen poll, 64% of Americans believe in the God of the Bible. What in the world does that mean? Here's the way the question was phrased. When you think of God, do you envision the God of the Bible or some other form or presence of God? And 64% said the God of the Bible. Do they even know? Do those 64% even know who the God of the Bible is? If you ask them, does the God of the Bible judge? Does the God of the Bible have wrath? Does the God of the Bible love all people? Describe for me the God of the Bible. I wonder what kind of description they'd come up with. And then if you said, well, do you picture God like this, like this, like this, and gave maybe five characteristics of the God of the Bible, I wonder how many of them would say, oh, yeah, exactly, that's what I believe. Interestingly, in the survey, 12% said that they didn't believe in God at all, which would mean there is definitely an increase, a rise in atheism in America, which leads to one of the great concerns that we must have as followers of Jesus, and that is the now frontal, no excuses, no holds barred attack on religious faith here in America. Oh, it's not so comprehensive that I can't be on the radio talking about these issues. I understand that. But it is rising, and we need to be fully aware. If we think, well, that doesn't pertain to me, if you're a follower of Jesus, it pertains to you. For years, we've been saying that gay and lesbian activism is the greatest threat to freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech in America. We're seeing that played out almost on a daily basis. And while we absolutely proclaim God's love for all human beings and God's love for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and while we clearly proclaim that Jesus shed the same blood for homosexual and heterosexual alike, and where we clearly proclaim that the greatest problems in the family come from failings in the heterosexual community, I believe that and have felt that and preached that and taught that for years. Nonetheless, there is a very real threat to freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion that ties directly in with gay activism. But I'm not focusing on that right now. I'm focusing on the fact that, well, let's jump over to England for a moment. There's now a ruling that Christians do not have the right to refuse to work on Sundays because it is not a core component of their beliefs, so that you could be fired from your job because you're part of a church, you worship on Sunday, you're involved with ministry on Sunday, Sunday is the Sabbath for you, or it's just your day of religious observance and religious activity where you're part of ministry teams and involved, you're bringing your family to church services. No, you cannot refuse to work on Sundays because, hey, there are other Christians that'll work on Sundays. That means it's not a core component on the faith. Which would mean the fact that some Jews are willing to work on Saturday means that seventh-day Sabbath is not a core component of Judaism. What kind of reasoning is that? That's that and many, many other decisions in England are coming down on an annual basis that are really overtly, clearly, plainly coming against religious beliefs and Christian beliefs in particular. Here now in America, we are dealing with the Obamacare laws, the health care laws that would force employers, Christian companies and others, would force them to act against their faith, not just to provide health insurance for their employees, but also to provide abortion pills So a day after pill, a woman thinks she might have gotten pregnant the night before. So she takes this pill the next day, and that would stop the conception from going forward. So it is a form of abortion. And Hobby Lobby, one of the companies, there are about 40 cases before the courts right now. Hobby Lobby is one of the companies saying, we cannot in conscience provide this. We provide other forms of health care. We provide other forms of insurance. I think they even provide contraception. But anything that has to do with abortion, with terminating a pregnancy at any stage, obviously they can't do that as Christians. About 40 cases before the court. Some have been cited in favor of the Christian companies. Maybe it was a Christian publisher or the like. Well, that's actually Christian. Well, Hobby Lobby, it's different. It's just a company. It's owned by Christians. So they have been told, no, you have to do this. While they were in the midst of appealing and fighting this, Supreme Court ruling said, no, you have to do this. So they said, okay, we may be fined up to $1.3 million a day for this, starting the new year, but we're not going to capitulate. God bless them for taking a stance, because what I see everywhere in society and in the church is capitulation. Capitulation, capitulation. Terrence Jeffrey on CNS News reports, in a legal argument formally presented in federal court in the case of Hobby Lobby versus Kathleen Sebelius, the Obama administration is claiming that the First Amendment, which expressly denies the government the authority to prohibit the free exercise of religion, nonetheless allows it to force Christians to directly violate their religious beliefs, even on a matter that involves the life and death of innocent human beings. The Obama administration is making a twofold argument for why it can force Christians to act against their faith in complying with the regulation that is issued under the Obamacare law that requires virtually all health care plans to cover without copay sterilizations, contraceptives, and abortion-inducing drugs. The first argument the administration makes against the owners of Hobby Lobby is that Americans lose their First Amendment right to freely exercise their religion when they form a corporation and engage in commerce. So a person's Christianity, the administration argues, cannot be carried out through activities he engages in through an incorporated business. So you lose your rights to exercise your religion when you start an incorporated business. What? Here's what the administration has argued. Hobby Lobby is a for-profit secular employer, and secular entity by definition does not exercise religion. Second argument the administration makes to justify forcing Christians to act against their faith is more sweeping. Here the administration argues it can force a person to act against his religion so long as the coercion is done under the authority of a law that is neutral and generally applicable. In other words, as long as the law was not written specifically to persecute Christians as Christians, the government can use that law to persecute Christians. Wake up time. Wake up time. It's not just the new atheists in the last half dozen years in particular with their frontal assault on the faith and frontal assault on a theistic God and frontal assault on the Bible. It's not just there. This is reflective of a larger secularizing of society, which is the fault of a sleeping, backslidden, compromised church, which means when awakening begins in us, it will shake and impact society. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Franklin in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Happy New Year to you when it comes.
God bless you. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, I just wanted to find out why Christians don't keep Sabbath.
Why Christians don't keep Seventh-day Sabbath, you mean?
Yeah,
the vast majority don't, Franklin, because it was never given as a specific commandment to the New Testament church. And we see it given specifically as a sign to Israel and something that God established with the nation of Israel. But we never see it given explicitly. There's not a letter in the New Testament to Gentile believers that tells them that they need to keep Seventh-day Sabbath. When there was pressure on Gentile Christians to keep Seventh-day Sabbath, Paul instructed, for example, in Colossians 2, saying that Sabbath was just the shadow, the substance was found in Christ, there would be an argument that the Sabbath is fulfilled in him. We find rest in him. It was not long in the early church before Sunday became a day that was set aside for worship and celebration in honor of the resurrection. And then Romans 14 was not applying specifically to Sabbath, but it's the larger principle of people setting aside a specific day or not setting aside a day as a matter of conscience. That being said, Franklin, I have zero problem whatsoever with Christians setting aside the seventh-day Sabbath, and I do not believe it is scriptural to argue that Saturday was changed to Sunday and Sunday became the Sabbath.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. We're coming away live on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2012. Oh, today is the last day you can download my ebook for free. In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars, about 250 pages, absolutely free, but you've got to do it by the end of the day today. You do it from Amazon.com. That's where we have it set up. Go to Amazon.com and then type in the Line of Fire and the number 70, and you'll get the page with my book. If you have a Kindle reader, great, just download it on your Kindle. If not, download the Kindle app. It's free for your computer, for your smartphone, for your tablet, and you can read it there. But it's the last day to do it. We've given away a couple thousand, well, so far this year, probably about 5,500 free books we've given away so far. Phone lines are open for anything you want to ask me, any subject, nothing's off limits today, as long as it's appropriate for Christian radio, of course. Now, you might say, Mike, I'm a little confused. You just told the last caller that nowhere in the New Testament was the Sabbath changed from Saturday to Sunday, yet you're critical of a ruling in England where the courts have said that a Christian can be fired for not working on Sunday because a Sunday Sabbath is not a core component of Christianity. No, those are two separate subjects. The fact that the church developed traditions where Sunday became a day set aside to God, whereas God did not specifically give the church a day. In other words, God did not command the church to observe Seventh-day Sabbath. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist, obviously. God did not command the New Testament followers of Jesus to set aside Seventh-day Sabbath. The fact that the concept became the eighth-day day of resurrection, and that was a day set aside for worship, for prayer, and that became a Christian Sabbath, that's a whole separate issue. The fact that the courts don't recognize that Sunday is the day when Christians worship, just like Saturday is the day for Jews and Friday is the day for Muslims. The fact the courts won't worship that's the issue. The debate about the Sabbath itself is a separate debate. 866-348-7884. One of the great concerns that I have today is not just the attack on the gospel, the attack on Christian faith, attack on Scripture that is rising and increasing in our culture. I'm also greatly concerned about a politicized church in America. This last election has indicated how deeply divided we are as believers and how politicized we are and how passionate we are about political issues, Republican, Democrat, so on, more so than we are often passionate about the things of the gospel. That concerns me. And the watered-down gospel that is being preached more and more and more through our country, more and more watered down, so there's no call to take up the cross. There's no call to say no to the flesh and the world. There's more a call to just be yourself and enjoy God's grace. It is a hyper-grace message. I love the message of grace. I revel daily in the message of God's love and God's grace, yet there is a message of hyper-grace that is polluting the body today. It's the exact opposite of what we need, and yet it is ever-present. My hope, And it's honestly somewhat faint in terms of nationally, but my hope is that there is a seed of desperation rising in the hearts of God's people. That there is a seed of desperation rising where more and more and more people are recognizing something's wrong, something needs to change, something's wrong, something needs to change. We are heading in the wrong direction to the point that we won't just try to implement a new church program. We won't just try to implement another fad of some kind. And in fact, I jotted this thought down earlier today that we don't need to think outside the box. Oh, you know, we've got to think outside the box. No, we don't need to think outside the box. We don't need to think inside the box. We need to get the mind of the Lord. We need to hear from heaven. We need to recapture that secret place, and in that secret place, hear what God is saying and be men and women of the Spirit. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Puvi in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, hello. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. The title is, If You Were Born White, Black, Brown, Yellow, or Red.
Oh, yeah. Okay, this is a poem you want to share. Go ahead.
Yes, that's the title. Okay, if you were born white or passing white, pray you be saved and forgiven. Pray you be washed by Yeshua's blessed precious blood. Be as white as snow. Pray you die to self and allow his light shine through you and glow. If you were born black, from passing white to jet black, pray you in his name, honor and justice, fight back. Pray you surrender to God and serve him as his knight. Pray you be born again, lead others to his truth, love, and light. If you were born brown, as precious soil is brown, pray you worship God under the sun. As you pray, praise him for giving you his son. Pray you enter his kingdom, his family as a beloved child of his own. If you were born yellow, as roses and butterflies are yellow and beautiful, pray you see you are loved by God who made us in his image. Through his son, he made us whole. Pray you also see the beauty in every soul. If you were born red, before each night as you lay your head on the bed, pray you be thankful for his provisions of today. Pray you be hopeful for his promises of tomorrow. Whatever skin color you were born with, whatever color is the tent of your spirit, all 12 prayers apply to you. For you are my fellow human friends, known and unknown. For you are my neighbors far and near on people-friendly earth. Amen.
Amen. Well, Puvi, thank you for writing that and for sharing it. And may every listener of every color embrace those words. Thank you and have a blessed new year. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Do I have time to read this quote to you? Oh, yeah, sure. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones on revival. Revival, above everything else, is a glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is the restoration of him to the center of the life of the church. It leads to our hymns, our anthems of praise. Christ, the center of the church. Friends, if we could recover that, recover the centrality of Jesus, we would be different. The church would be different. Our society would be different. Tomorrow's broadcast, I'm going to give you some practical thoughts on how to live differently in 2013 and bear much fruit for him. And if you'd like to stand with us and help with a year-end gift, tax deductible, and one more importantly, that will help store up treasure in heaven, go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on support. Whenever you give today, we'll be credited for this calendar year. We're giving our phone operators the day off today. So no number to call to give, but by all means, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, click on support. Your end gift will hold our hands up as we travel to Hong Kong to teach Chinese pastors. It'll help us start 2013 with fresh energy and strength. Together, friends, we're making a difference. Let's believe God in the coming year.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Shake the nations. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the line of fire this December 31st, which is New Year's Eve. In case you missed that, coming your way live, delighted to be with you. And the phone lines are open for anything in the world you want to talk to me about. You can talk to me about the football games yesterday if you want, as long as I can give you some kingdom or spiritual insight on it. But whatever in the world you'd like to talk to me about, we're just opening the phone lines wide today. And I'm sharing some end-of-the-year reflections and thoughts, some end-of-the-year burdens, concerns. Obviously, the agonizing events that took place just a couple of weeks ago in Newtown, Connecticut, the slaughter of little children, cannot be far from our hearts or minds, and the recognition of how desperately our nation needs God and of what a violent culture we are. Those things cannot be far from our hearts and minds. The degree that we're entertained by violence cannot be far from our hearts and minds. At the same time, there are other issues as we look at the whole year and look at things that are going on in our society. And I see still that so many Christian leaders, my brothers and sisters in ministry, and so many in the body, think more horizontally than vertically. Yes, we need to think horizontally in terms of caring about people and loving people and recognizing the image of God in human beings and being compassionate, long-suffering, caring people and seeking the good of others before our own good. But the only way we can do that effectively is by thinking vertically first, by being God-oriented people first, by being Jesus people first, by having a heavenly perspective, by communing with God, by getting his mind, his heart, his anointing, his grace, and then with that afresh going out to touch and help this world and to speak the truth to this world. We've confused being nice with being followers of Jesus. We've confused being agreeable with being disciples. We've confused having people like us with loving people. And in many cases, we are far more concerned with the praises of people than with the praises of God. And we need awakening in our own hearts and lives because it is the watered-down gospel message and a compromised church that is largely responsible for the backsliding, the secularizing of our society that we see all around us. That being said, I want to speak this word as a word of encouragement to many of you, and then we'll go to the phones. And just looking at my screen here, wow, there's quite a variety of subjects folks want to talk about, but a common thread with a few of them, interestingly. So I'll be getting to your calls momentarily. But I received a card, Christmas card from, or was it? Yeah, Christmas New Year card from some dear, dear friends in Germany. And the front, there is a picture. It's just a lovely card, picture of all these doors leading into houses. And then there is one that's open and believers obviously looking out the door. And it says, it's quoting from the book of Revelation, and it's got an English at the bottom, but I only spotted that after the German at the top, and I know enough German to understand something like this. Siehe, ich habe vor dir eine Tür aufgetan. Forgive my poor German accent. But it's, see, I've set before you an open door. Jesus said that to the believers in Philadelphia almost 2,000 years ago. But I want to say that that's a word from the Lord for many listening. Those words of Jesus are really words that he's setting before many of us. See, I've set before you an open door. That if you really want to do something for God, there's a door of ministry open for you. If you really want to make a difference, there's a door of opportunity open for you. And Tim, who has ears to hear, let him hear. If that applies to you, act on it. Go through that door. You'll be amazed to see what God will do.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
In the first half hour, I spoke about the attack on religious faith in America today, the attack in particular on Christian faith in America today, in keeping with what's happening in England and some other countries. This is not imagined. This is real. 866-348-7884. It is something that should get our attention and help us to recognize how we need awakening here in America. Before I go to the phones, this quote from CNS News about Hobby Lobby and why they are refusing to go along with the Obamacare mandate that they provide abortion-inducing drugs to their employees as part of their health care. The quote says this: the Greens, who are evangelical Christians, do not suspend their religious beliefs while running their businesses. Instead, they strive to run them fully in accordance with their Christian beliefs. They are unanimous in stating that they have always, quote, sought to run Hobby Lobby in harmony with God's law and in a manner which brings glory to God. They do not have two sets of morals, one for when they are at a church or at home and another for when they are working on their businesses. They have only one set of morals that they strive to follow at work or any other activity. For example, they close their business on Sundays so their employees can spend that day with their families, and they pay their full-time workers a minimum hourly wage of $13, which far exceeds the federal minimum wage. They also provide their employees with a generous self-insured health care plan, and they even operate on-site cost-free health care clinic at their corporate headquarters. But guided by their Christian faith, the Greens believe that human life begins at conception and that aborting an unborn life is wrong. In keeping with this, they do not cover in their employee health care plan abortions, abortion-inducing drugs, or IUDs that prevent implantation of an embryo. Unlike Catholics, the Greens do not believe that contraception and sterilization are morally wrong. So the Greens are saying, fine, you can threaten us with a fine of $1.3 million per day, but we cannot deny what we believe. And yet every week, their pastors and teachers and people in Christian media denying certain principles so as to not be rejected by people. Friends, we need to sober up. Stakes are very high. 866-348-7884. John in Arlington, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Michael, how you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you, John.
Okay. Yes. I just want to say that I am a Christian. I've been reconciled and justified through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an issue with type, because when I read what Paul is saying is that I'm now justified by the blood of the Lamb. So because I refuse to tithe, I feel, I receive criticism from my fellow brethren. Not harsh criticism, it's just that, brother, you should be tithing. And I feel that I'm a giver, and I feel that I shouldn't have to tithe if I don't want to. I feel that a person, if they want to tithe, then that's their personal vow to God. And if you vow that, you do it. But I feel that my freedom in Christ is being taken away, because I feel, and I read, that I'm justified by what Christ did, and not this thing about tithing. It makes me feel that we're brothers, but because I don't do it, I feel like I'm an illegitimate son.
Let me ask you a related question, just so I can understand what you believe. In terms of your freedom in Jesus, let's put tithing aside, right? Because I don't believe tithing is a mandatory New Testament command personally. I've done it for years. I encourage it, but I do not believe it is mandatory in the New Testament, just so you know where I'm coming from. But here's my question to you. Could you use the same argument you're using? Hey, I'm justified through faith in Christ. It's not about what I do. It's about what he's done. I'm free. So you can't judge me for sleeping with my girlfriend out of wedlock because I'm free. Would you use that same argument?
No.
Okay, so where would you make that difference? Because I agree with you there. What difference would you find between committing a clear sin, like sexual immorality, versus not tithing?
Well, I mean, the Bible says that if I know what Christ have done for us, but if you practice certain things, and what you just said is one of them, adultery, lying, all this stuff, Paul says that you would not inherit the kingdom of God.
Okay.
So I base it off of that, telling me that there's certain things that you will do or certain things that you do if you continue to practice those things. Regardless of what Christ did, you would not inherit the kingdom of God. So
okay.
I based it part of my decision off of that.
Right. So here's what I'd say, John. Number one, I do not believe tithing is a mandatory command in the New Testament. All right? I don't see any evidence for that whatsoever. What I do find is that all of us are called to give generously, to give proportionately with our income, and to support those that minister to us financially. Those who preach the gospel should live by the gospel. That's written in 1 Corinthians 9 and reiterated in 1 Timothy 5, and Galatians 6 reiterates that principle. So throughout the New Testament, we see an example of generous giving. In fact, the best argument that I have, if someone says, well, you don't tithe, is to say, well, I give more than 10%, but I don't do it the same way you do it. So in other words, you don't want to do it to justify stinginess or selfishness or lack of faith. But here's where I stand on it. It is not a command in the New Testament. What we are called to do as followers of Jesus and what our response should be is we should be generous. We should give of the first fruits. We should give proportionate with our income. And we should give so as to support those that we receive ministry from. The labor is worthy of his hire. Those are all New Testament principles. And you can argue that the New Testament principle is you always do beyond what the law requires. That if the law said this, that under grace we're called to do more. Now, here's the only issue, though, John. If you are part of a fellowship that says, hey, you're welcome to come here and be part of us, but if you want to become a full member, we have requirements for members. We expect this, this, this. Any church can set up whatever they want for their own membership. Right. And if you're in harmony with that, great. If you're not in harmony with that, then you have to decide if that's the place where you sink your teeth. In other words, there's some churches that say in order to be a member here, you have to sign on the dotted line for this, 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 including tithing, and we are committed to do this, 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 this for you and your family. Others have no such commitment like that. And if making a commitment to tithe is a stumbling block for you or something that you feel hinders your liberty, then obviously you just have to be with people that don't make that into an issue.
Okay.
And in other words, that's just more a practical matter of throwing yourself in with people of like heart and like mind. And the positive on the tithing is just that it helps people to do things in a way that actually gets done. Like, you know, if I put prayer last, it tends to not happen at all. If I put giving last, it tends to not happen at all. But I agree with you, it's not mandatory. I agree with you that just based on the word, no one can lay that on you as a commandment. But I do see other principles to follow. Hey, listen, John, may you have a blessed new year in the Lord, and may you bear much lasting fruit for him. 866-348-7884. Jose in North Bergen, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you? I'm calling again. I've called before. And basically, the issue I wanted to touch with you is the fact that what we're seeing is basically we're seeing an apostate church. On the one side, we see all plethora of discernment ministries that are going after other Christians on the one side, those extremes. And then you see the other extremes where you see hyper-Pentecostalism where the spirits are not tested to see if they're from God. So you have the two extremes. And in the middle, you have the prosperity gospel that's going all over the place. And you have a politicized church, and nobody really knows right from wrong. We're like in the days of the judges, where no one knows exactly. Everybody did as they pleased, and there really isn't a concerted voice. There are a few, but they're drowned out by all of these others.
Obviously. We make a mistake when any of us think that we have it all, you know, that my broadcast is the one sound broadcast or your church is the one sound church. And everyone believes they're preaching and teaching things that are right. No one, unless they're a charlatan, gets up and knowingly teaches error and deception. But I want to affirm what you're saying in two ways, Jose. First, if you say, okay, who are national Christian voices really, really carrying the respect of many in the country? Yeah, of course, there's going to be opposition. We understand that. But are really speaking for the Lord with a certain divine authority and voice and really glorifying Jesus, there's a real void. Yeah, there are voices, but in terms of a national voice or two, this seems to be a real need for that, Jose. The other thing, I encourage everyone to weigh your doctrine based on the warnings in 2 Timothy 4 about people gathering around them, teachers, to say what their itching ears want to hear. Does this message bypass the cross? Does this message call me to say no to the flesh and go against the grain of the world? Or does this message cater to my desires? It's a way to discern the truth. Hey, Jose, thanks for the call. Have a blessed new year. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire on this New Year's Eve, 2012. Looking forward to a wonderful week with you on The Line of Fire. Some of the broadcasts, God willing, coming your way live from Hong Kong, where I'll be teaching Chinese pastors from the mainland, teaching the book of Jeremiah. And as I share some end-of-the-year reflections, let me share this illustration with you. 866-348-7884. Then I'll go back to the phones. And the phone lines are open to you to talk about anything in the world you want to talk to me about, literally. Whatever in the world you want to raise, as long as it's appropriate for Christian radio, I'm happy to weigh in. A friend of mine, a pastor, was leading a smaller congregation, a few hundred people. I'm sorry. It was much smaller at that time. It was under 100 people. But he was a respected friend of some mega church pastors in his city. And they were sitting together talking about the latest business strategy book that they had read and how to implement this, and that this is working, that's working, this is not working, this is working, and based on business strategies. And he just spoke up. I mean, who was he? He's got under 100 people, and they're running multiplied thousands. And by the way, multiplied thousands is not bad. That's wonderful. Those are people. Those are souls. If they're really coming to know Jesus and being disciples, it's glorious. Praise God. So I'd rather have 10,000 following Jesus than 3 following Jesus. On the other hand, I'd rather have 3 genuinely following Jesus than 10,000 who are not. So he just said, brothers, what are you doing? Where's the kingdom of God? Where's your vision for the principles Jesus laid out? They're often antithetical to our principles. They're often antithetical to business strategies. What's major and important in God's kingdom, what is a word coming forth from the throne, may not be what's trending on Twitter right now. Oh. And as he brought this word to them, just as they're sharing lunch together, what about the kingdom of God and what about the Jesus principles? They realize, yeah, we're just kind of trying to operate on corporate principles. Now, it's not to say that everything in a corporate principle is false. No, quite the contrary. There are management principles and stewardship principles within business that can be very applicable within church leadership. But it seemed that so much of the model was coming from corporate America as opposed to the kingdom of God, as opposed to the scripture. And we must wake up to that reality, friends. The newest, greatest, latest seminar is not what we need. What we need is a deeper encounter with God and a fresh word from heaven and the equipping of the Spirit so that we can represent Jesus to this lost and dying world with prophetic boldness, filled with the love of God, overflowing with the Spirit, glorifying Jesus. There is no opposition that can overcome that message in that spirit. And it may cost us our lives to bring it, so be it. We've already signed up by life or by death to follow Jesus, not to take other lives, but if ours are taken for the gospel, so be it. That's the cross that's been carried for 2,000 years and is being carried around the world. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Joe in Richmond, Virginia. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going? I don't really have much of a question other than the fact to say that you're right. You know, I came, you know, God gave me a wake-up call about a year ago, and he let me know, I need to wake up. I need to live my life the way he wants me to live it. I need to stop, you know, being ashamed of God and the gospel. And I've just come to realize over, you know, the last year and reading and getting back, you know, into the Word and understanding what, you know, what Christ wants for me and what God wants for me, that there are a lot of lukewarm churches and lukewarm Christians out there who feel like going to church on Sunday, putting it on their checklist, makes them a Christian, makes them a good person, makes them everything is great. Versus, you know, getting in there and understanding that there is more that is expected of us as Christians. That, you know, it's Christ doesn't want to walk into a church, go into the church coffee shop, buy a latte, buy his Jesus Christ air freshener to put in his car, and then drive home with the little fish on the back of him, and then everybody be happy because now he's a Christian. You know, we are called to an expectation. You're right, to wake up, you know, and to live the principles and the way that, you know, and to follow Christ, not just know who he is, not just understand who he is, but to actually follow in his footsteps and do what he has called us to do, because there's too many people out there who don't have food, who don't have homes, who don't have anything around the world, but yet Americans want to sit here and act like God wants me to be wealthy, God wants me to have all this nice stuff. You know, he doesn't want me to take my resources and use them for the means that he wants us to do. He blesses us so that we can bless others, not so we can bless ourselves.
Yeah, and just, Joe, the best
out there.
Yeah, the best answer to a lukewarm, compromised church is not that we walk around, you know, looking down our own religious noses and say how bad everyone is, but to live out the real gospel, to say, hey, I've been awakened. I see the Jesus calling. I see what he wants me to do and what it's normal for a disciple and living in the light of eternity, what makes sense. And I'm going to go about doing it. And your life, Joe, if you live that out, if you live it out full of joy and full of dedication, it'll make others jealous. The loudest rebuke to lukewarm Christians is a life that's on fire. It's the greatest threat, in fact, a life that's on fire, a life that's passionate, a life that's burdened. It serves as a wake-up call to others. And then when we have the opportunity to speak, as you just shared here on national radio, as I get to do on a daily basis, as we get to say, hey, look, this is what it's about to follow Jesus. I just got back from India. I'm on my way to China, working with real disciples, with people who know the cost of following Jesus, who know what could happen to them as disciples, who when they get baptized, realize they're taking their life in their hands. They might be rejected by family. They might lose their jobs. They may get beaten. They may get put in prison. And that's just normal for disciples. You wonder if that's what was required of us in America today, how many of our numbers would dissipate, how many of our millions would become thousands. May God help us to live this out. May he help you, Joe, to be a shining example of what it means to be a disciple. Have a blessed new year. Everyone waiting to get on the air, stay right there. I'm going to continue taking your calls right on the other side of the hour. So without interruption, we're going to be getting right back to calls after I share some opening comments. So stay right there, and you'll be the first up, especially if you've been on hold through this first hour. Stay right there. You'll be the first up in the next hour. Again, I covered your prayers as I go to Hong Kong. It's maybe 25, 30 hours of travel to get there, and then a 13-hour time differential. And then once the schedule starts, a full schedule teaching Chinese pastors and then broadcasting to you live from Hong Kong. So pray for grace on this trip. And if you feel prompted to stand with us to help with an end-of-the-year gift or to become a monthly torchbearer to end your year with a bang, go to my website, askdrbrown.org. That's A-S-K-D-R Brown. Go to askdrbrown.org and click on support. Your year-end gift will be greatly appreciated by our entire team here. My bottom line today, the time for making excuses is long past. The time for blaming others is long past. Let us set our eyes on Jesus. Set our eyes on a God who is all sufficient, and let us take up our cross and follow the Master afresh. It's time for my end of the year reflections right here on the Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am looking at the clock in my office, the atomic clock, which is set to the second, so we are in sync with our stations. And I see that it is December 31st. Yes, New Year's Eve. I want to be honest with you. It doesn't feel like New Year's Eve to me, just to be straight. It doesn't feel like New Year's Eve. My focus is there in terms of the radio broadcast and things I want to talk to you about today, but it doesn't feel like New Year's Eve. When we were talking with some of our grandkids a few days ago, you know, it was Christmas Eve, and it didn't feel like Christmas Eve. Maybe we needed some snow on the ground here in North Carolina. I don't know. Maybe it's because I leave for Hong Kong for an intensive ministry trip tomorrow. But it is New Year's Eve, and I want to give you some reflections at the end of the year. I want to share some quotes with you that I believe will stir your heart. I want to give some honest assessments about where we are in the body today and in America today. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH to join me on the program. I've opened up the phone lines in the first hour and will continue this hour for anything in the world you want to talk to me about. Anything in the world you want to talk to me about. I mean, normally we have some constraints that it's got to be in my areas of expertise, but as long as it's appropriate for Christian radio, you can ask me about anything today or raise any subject, and we'll be glad to talk about it, to do something special at the end of the year. Let me read a quote to you. It's in my book, Time for Holy Fire, and there's a chapter in this book called Fit for the Master's Use, A Portrait of the Servant of God. In other words, who can God use in revival? Who can God use to really touch the church and touch the world? And I've got a lot of powerful quotes in the book, Time for Holy Fire. James A. Stewart, in his book on evangelism, said this: I was once told I would never be a very popular evangelist because I did not sufficiently, quote, sell my personality. Oh, the shame. Our business, he said, is to magnify the Christ of God and not to fling about our personalities. Dr. Herbert Lockyer, in pointing out the peril of man worship and evangelism, says, if a man is somewhat attractive, blessed with a fascinating personality, and with power to influence multitudes, that man is often sought after rather than the master. And D.H. Dolman said this: I'm only a wick. With many of us, it takes a long time to learn this lesson. It is only when the wick is soaked in oil that it can burn. If you wish for the fullness of the Spirit in order that your church should be crowded or people flock to hear you, the Holy Spirit cannot work through you. If people begin to talk about the wick, there is generally something wrong with the burning. Let it be our goal in the year 2013, to be Jesus people, to be a people who are about the gospel, to be a people who are focused on exalting Jesus beyond exalting our church program, our latest teaching. Let it be that Jesus is central and that what we do is done out of relationship with Him. You know, there are a million and one good things we could do and good causes we could give ourselves to, but let us get the mind of the Lord. If there's anything I could instill in your heart and live out in my life in 2013, it would be that more than ever, we are people who know God and have the mind of the Lord and understand His will for the present hour. Lord, what would you have me do today? What would you have me do in the year 2013. We'll be back with your call. Stay with us. Shake the nation, change the world.
Change the world. Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
That's my heart, friends. That's why I'm on the air. By God's grace, to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Our phone lines have been jammed, but I just noticed we've got one phone line open. It's for you. Yes, you've been waiting for your moment. 866-348-7884. Some of the great concerns I have as we come to the end of 2012, the ongoing secularizing of our culture, the overt attack on religious beliefs and convictions from our government and from other quarters, the church continuing to think that the way to solve the problems with society is to capitulate. And then when it does stand, it tends to stand in a way that is so politically oriented that it gets away from gospel foundations. And perhaps the greatest concern of all is the lack of a prophetic witness in the church, by which I mean a watered-down gospel that is being presented to the world, the exact opposite of what we need to be doing. You might say, hey, brother, my church is growing. We've kind of changed our tone and the church is growing. If it's growing with disciples of Jesus, if it's growing with people who are taking up their cross daily, Luke 9:23, and who are following the Great Commission, being disciples and making disciples, then I rejoice. I rejoice from my heart, and I'll learn from you what I can. But if it's just producing numbers of people, crowds of people who are not real disciples, and if the rubber met the road, they would not be following Jesus, then what's the use of it? All you're doing is inoculating people to the truth. I'll share some other things that are so burdensome to me in these days. And yet, yeah, I live with hope 24/7. I live with hope. I mean, it's very, very rare that I'm down or downcast because I serve a living God. God is not depressed or hopeless. He may be grieved and pained over certain things, but he's never depressed or hopeless. And in his presence, his fullness of joy, there's often pain and grief because of the pain that our God carries. But there's ultimately fullness of joy in his presence. And in that presence, we have hope. And it's not too late for America. It's not too late for the nations. God is at work. But we must be sober. We must be sober about the critical day and age in which we live. Back to the phones. Anthony in Houston, thanks for holding and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be a part of your show. Anyway, I listen to you often. I appreciate it. My comment is Jesus spoke well when he said that this is a perverse and selfish generation. I speak of that thinking about Christians who do not want halfway houses or pedophiles in their neighborhoods, but yet they would vote for a man that would kill a baby. And the president, which is Obama, he's in a high seat that he could plant seed or be one that waters the word of God, but he does not have respect for life, so we look at killers. Like this young man who killed all these babies in the school, the president does not have respect for life. And so at the same token, a lot of people who look at the president as a hero, they take the same attitude. The president does not have respect, so neither do I. And that's when crime goes up, when the leaders are more corrupt than even the little mafia.
Yeah, Anthony, certainly when our president has taken certain stances, I've been amazed to see the influence that he has. Now, I've had, for example, many African-American callers who take strong exception to the president's policies on abortion and redefining marriage and things like that. And they've been outraged by the thought that his comments would influence their thinking. At the same time, I've read the reports of other black pastors, other leaders, other white pastors, other leaders who are so influenced by the president that they've said, hey, if he's got this stance, we need to look at it again. We need to think about it again. He is in many ways the most powerful man in the world, naturally speaking.
Right.
You might argue that the Pope has more worldwide influence in certain ways. He does. But as far as being in the most powerful office, it's our president. We need to be praying for President Obama. Look, he quotes scripture. He quoted scripture when he went to console the victims of the Newtown massacre. And we need to pray that he will really encounter God and that the fear of the Lord will come upon him and that he will so hear the cry of the unborn, that he'll hear the cry of the innocent, and he'll recognize the destruction that can come as we further redefine marriage. And he'll also recognize the evil of his Obamacare health plan that makes it mandatory for employers to provide abortifacts for their employees, which is why, as we mentioned in the first hour, Hobby Lobby is saying, fine, you can threaten us with fines of $1.3 million a day, but we are not going to provide abortion-inducing drugs to our employees as a matter of conviction. And so there is a direct confrontation right now with the government and religious liberties. And Anthony, we need to be praying for Mr. Obama that he would have an encounter with God that would so rock his world that the whole nation would be rocked. With God, all things are possible. And, sir, may you have a blessed new year in the Lord. I appreciate your call.
And again, one more comment?
Yes, please.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I know a lot of people have controversy with what I'm saying. They say, judge not, lest you be judged. Well, I understand that. And so I say, if I do these things, called, like Jesus said, what you see in darkness revealed to the light, and what you see in secret shouted out on the rooftop. So if people do judge me for what I'm doing and I find something wrong, or they convince me that I'm doing something wrong, I'll repent, but I'll get up. As they say, the righteous fall seven times, but I'm getting back up. I just hate to see my people perish because of a lack of knowledge or bad decisions.
Yeah, and Anthony, the here's where there would be judgment. If I judge the president's motives, if I judge superficially, if I judge hypocritically, that would be violating judge not, lest you be judged. However, John 7:24 says, don't judge by outward appearance, but judge righteous judgments. And throughout the New Testament, believers are called to make righteous judgments. So I don't know what motivates the president to do what he does. I don't know if he's very sincere about his religious beliefs, but misguided. I do know that his stances are destructive and grievous in the sight of God, and I fear for his soul. So we pray for him. Thank you, sir, for the call. 866-348-7884. Alan in Baltimore, Maryland, thank you, sir, for holding, and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you.
I want to tell you, you are one of the few teachers, preachers of the gospel who, as I've listened to over the years, there's absolutely nothing that I've heard you say that I disagree with, and that's rare. I mean, your stance as far as once saved, always saved, we agree. The pre-tribulation rapture for the first 29 years of my life, I believe that lie. Thank God he brought me out of that. Everything. So I commend you on your understanding of the Bible. My question is that I understand your stance on Obama, and I'm not an Obama fan. I agree with everything you said about him. He's bad news. That's obvious. I wasn't a Romney fan either. This is the first election in my life where I did not want to vote for either one of them, and I was vacillating back and forth almost up to the end. I'm going to tell you, Romney scared me. He absolutely scared me as I listened to him in those debates or whatever, and there was something in my spirit that was saying, well, yeah, we don't want Obama back, but if Romney is in office, something inside of me was saying, oh, wow, now look what we got. It's worse. Now, I can't say that's what would have happened. I'm just telling you what I got in my spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, and Alan, let me just say this. I've just got to jump in because you have a break. I appreciate the good word about us being in harmony. Hey, keep listening. In a few more years, we'll probably hit on something. We've got a minor disagreement somewhere, but it is. I'm glad as we're studying scripture, we're coming to the same conclusions. But you know, I had two major warnings coming into the election. I had a warning to my white evangelical brothers and sisters who were just going to vote Republican because that's how they vote. And if Mitt Romney was elected, we're going to make the mistake of thinking he's the savior. He's the man who's going to do it. And then I had a warning to my black evangelical friends to say, do not vote for Mr. Obama simply because he's black or simply because you're used to voting Democrat and you think that Democrats care for the poor more. You can't vote for him in good conscience because of his other stances. So I was criticized by Romney followers because I wasn't more pro-Romney. And I said that I would vote for him with reticence, but I absolutely was not putting my hope in a Romney administration. And I even had a guest on that gave warnings about voting for him and why he would be wrong. So, Alan, what you felt in your spirit could have been right. All right, we'll be back with your calls and more of my comments and insights as we come to the end of the year.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, one of our purposes on the Line of Fire broadcast is to function like the sons of Issachar in Israel of old. First Chronicles 12:32, it says that they understood the times and knew what Israel should do. I'm doing my best to go before the Lord and to look at what's happening in the world and to have my finger on some of the pulse of what's happening in the church and to help spark awakening in the body, help spark moral, cultural revolution in the society based on the gospel of Jesus, help stir hearts for the nations. I'm not claiming to bring, thus saith the Lord, here are the top 10 items for 2013. Maybe the Lord's given them to someone. He hasn't given them to me. But I do have a sense of what's right and what's wrong. I do have a sense based on the Word and the Spirit and what's totally obvious in terms of what's happening in our society around us. And I see us in many ways at a real precipice, at a real moment of truth, that these next few years are going to determine whether America takes a secular plunge from which it'll be difficult to recover in terms of some foundations of the faith, or whether we go in the way of awakening in Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Frank in Maywood, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello there, Michael. Hello there. Hello. God bless you. It's Maywood, New Jersey, Michael.
All right.
Maywood, New Jersey. First of all, I'd like to just say that one of your areas of expertise is listening. And I listen to your show to learn how to listen. So thank you very much, Michael.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Michael, I have much to be grateful for, as we all do. I am living on a Social Security check, a disability check, and I've often wished that I could contribute something to ministries such as yours. So at this stage in my life, I have written a book. I will not mention the title unless you invite me to. I've written a book, Michael, and I'm wondering if you would be interested in helping me promote the book, and for whatever percentage you feel you'd like to have, go for it, my brother.
Yeah, well, don't worry about the percentage part. Feel free and mention the name of the book, but I appreciate you being understanding in that. But, yeah, the name of the book is?
The name of the book is I Grew Up in Polish Heaven. I Grew Up in Polish Heaven, and Polish Heaven is a little town, 1 square mile, Wallington, New Jersey, heavily Polish.
And what's the purpose of the book?
Well, Michael, the purpose of the book is it's basically my testimony, B.C. and A.D., before Jesus and after Jesus, the last chapter especially.
And were you raised in was it a heavily Catholic environment there?
Oh, yes. I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church. And as they say, the Roman Catholic Church will either harden your heart against the gospel or get you ready to receive it. And that's, praise the Lord, that is what happened to me. I've been in the Lord 42 years now.
Wonderful. So you've got me by a few months, it looks like. Frank, why don't you do this then? Why don't you send us a copy of the book? And You have online access, I assume?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so just go to AskDrBrown.org, and you'll have our address there, and send us a copy of the book. We'll gladly take a look at it, and I appreciate you calling and your kind words and sentiments. And if we like the message of the book, we're happy to tell others about it, and that'll be our joy, all right?
Thank you very much, my brother.
All right, have a blessed New Year, Frank. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884. On the other side of the break that's coming up a few minutes from now, but in the next half hour, I want to talk about something I've encountered more and more of that just so deeply concerns me, and how we can stand against this particular error. Again, you know my premise, if you've listened to this broadcast, that the greatest problem in America today is not so much the presence of darkness, it's the absence of light. And we have more than enough outlets, don't we? We have more than enough gospel radio stations, Christian TV stations, church buildings, church ministries, Christian books, Christian websites, go down the list. We have more than enough access and platform. The question is, what message are we getting out and what message are we living out? That's the great problem. If we can address that in God, we'll see radical change in the church and society. Oh, it'll be costly, but it'll be glorious and it will be worth it. 866-34-TRUTH. Dennis in Baltimore, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Very well, thanks.
Yeah, I got two quick questions. I believe it was last Thursday I heard you speaking on the movie The Passion of the Christ, and you said there were some things that you didn't really like about the movie, and I was wondering what they were. And my second question was, I was just wondering, were you friends with Dr. Ravi Zacharias?
Yeah, the second question first. Ravi Zacharias and I are colleagues. In years past, he wrote to me, sent me one of his books. He was getting ready to go to Israel and had been reading some of my books on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. I sent him some material. And then here and there, I'll interact with folks within his ministry, but we are not really personally connected. I deeply appreciate who he is and what he does for the Lord and the doors God's opened for him. But hopefully in the coming years, we'll get to know each other better because our lives intersect in so many ways in terms of taking the message of the gospel before a sinning and lost and skeptical world. So we know each other as ministry colleagues from a distance, and hopefully we'll get to know each other better firsthand in the coming years. As far as the Passion of the Christ, I rejoice in all the testimonies of people that I heard who were genuinely impacted by it. Some I even know came to faith in Jesus through it. And then I heard reports when the movie came out how in some Muslim countries they were playing it, even though they don't believe Jesus died on the cross. They were playing it because they heard that Jews didn't like the movie, so they were playing it. So I rejoiced in that. Obviously, the level of suffering that's portrayed is trying to communicate what Jesus went through on the cross, which you can't really communicate graphically. So it's overdone in that sense, and also typical of Mel Gibson movies with hyperviolence. I didn't feel it was anti-Semitic in any way, but anything that takes liberties with the gospel account, you know, changes the way things happen, in this case had a certain strong Mary presence beyond what the scriptures would have indicated, which would have been more in keeping with Mel Gibson's traditional Catholic views. Those were the things that I differed with. I didn't have a fundamental issue with the film. I didn't feel it was, as I said, anti-Semitic. In fact, when I saw the Jewish religious leaders, in my mind, I pictured them wearing crosses. It struck me as if that they were traditional church leaders. In other words, to me, the battle was against religious traditionalism, and Jesus and his disciples were portrayed as Jewish in the film. Overall, obviously, where's the message? And then the emphasis on the resurrection, but that's not what it was primarily about. Anyway, thanks for the call, sir. Have a blessed new year.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to this last broadcast of the year 2012. Michael Brown coming your way live on the Line of Fire broadcast. It's New Year's Eve. I wish you a blessed New Year in the Lord. We have a special New Year's broadcast coming your way tomorrow. And tomorrow's the day, God willing, where I leave for Hong Kong to teach Chinese pastors from the mainland a course in the book of Jeremiah. Whoa, what an opportunity, what a privilege. And God willing, we'll be coming your way live from Hong Kong for a number of broadcasts beginning Thursday. So we've got special broadcasts prepared for you tomorrow and Wednesday. Don't miss a day. If you miss any of the broadcasts, catch them later on my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the Line of Fire. And the phone lines are open today for any subject in the world that you want to bring up to me and talk about, whether it's in my area of expertise or not. And if I don't have a good opinion to give, I'll tell you the truth. But anything you want to raise today, phone lines are open, 866-348-7884. We've covered a lot of interesting ground in the last hour and a half. And one of the key things I've sought to do is to lay out some of the great concerns I have in our nation as we come to the end of the year and some of the direction forward. The increasing secularizing of our nation, the now overt attack on Christian faith and biblical conviction, not just coming through radical activism, and gay and lesbian activism, and other quarters. And I say that once again to emphasize Jesus' love for all people and Jesus' blood being shed for all people. My issue is with activism and where it's going in different aspects of society. But it's not just in those circles. It's now just straight from our government with Obamacare and saying that to Christian-owned companies that once you're a company and a corporation, you're secular now, you can't use religious liberty arguments anymore, and you must give your employees health care that includes abortion-inducing drugs. I mean, these are direct attacks, and the government's not backing down as there are 40 different cases in the courts against of the government right now, and Hobby Lobby most noticeably saying, if you want to fine us $1.3 million per day, $1.3 million per day that we don't go along with your mandate, we cannot go along with your mandate. We operate on Christian principles. These battles unfolding, the ever-going, ongoing battle for marriage and for family in America from getting assaulted from every different angle. The violence of our culture, as some of the horrible news from recent days is still so fresh. Those things concern me. What concerns me more is a compromised church preaching a watered-down gospel. What concerns me more is God's people going the way of the world versus going the way of God and the Spirit. And if there's anything in Scripture that brings a wake-up call to us, it's the words of Jesus. And yet there is an attack in the church on the words of Jesus. As outlandish as that sounds, as crazy as that sounds, let me say it again. There is an attack on the words of Jesus in the church today. There is a hyper-grace message that says that the words of Jesus were old covenant, that the words of Jesus were being preached to quote, stiff-necked Jews who just had a law-keeping mentality, and Jesus was speaking to them and rebuking them. But Paul brings a different message. We need to concentrate on Paul's message of grace, and it takes us away from the words of Jesus being front and center in the body today. That is a dangerous, unbiblical teaching. The Great Commission says this, to go and make disciples of the nations, teaching them, Jesus says, to observe everything I've commanded you. The Great Commission calls us to live out the words of Jesus and disciple people based on the words of Jesus. And the great wake-up call we need is being disregarded by many today. God help us.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on this New Year's Eve broadcast live on The Line of Fire. Today is the last day you can download my ebook for free, In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. You'll find it readable. You'll find it to be a wake-up, shake-up book. You'll find it a book that will help equip you in dealing with the world and objections to our moral and cultural stands and to the scriptures and other ways. So here's how you get it. Go to Amazon.com. All right, you have to do this online. It's an ebook, Amazon.com, and type in, you type in the title of what you're looking for, In the Line of Fire, and the number 70. And that'll get you right to my book, In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture war. It's completely free. You get the whole book. It's yours to keep. No strings attached. All right. And if you don't have a Kindle e-reader, as many of you do, but if you don't, there's a free app right where you click the word buy to get it. And again, it says it's for free. But you got to do it between now and the end of the day today. It expires at the end of 2012. All right. You go there, click on it, and right where it says buy, if you don't have a Kindle, you can just click on the app so you can get a Kindle reader. It's free for your computer, for your tablet, for your smartphone. I actually have them on all my computers, on my smartphone, on my tablet as well. And then I have a Kindle e-reader. I like these gadgets. But this way I have my entire library of these related books synced throughout all of my different gadgets, PCs, whatever. So last day to do it, In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars, Amazon.com. It's yours for free. 866-348-7884. Kevin in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire today.
Dr. Brown, first of all, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And I want to be brief. I want to ask you a question. It's concerning marriage. And
yeah.
A little off the subject matters of what we've had so far, but I am in the midst of trying to save my marriage. My wife is thinking strongly about leaving. A lot of it is financially related. At a certain point in our lives, she feels we should be in a certain place financially. I have not done my due diligence as a husband in budgeting or those sort of things. But right now, I feel like I'm on probation. She's in and out on whether or not she wants to stay in the marriage. Depending on the day, it's almost like the character in the movie Fireproof, when the wife begins to soften her heart a little bit, and then Kirk Cameron makes a dinner for her, and she gets to the house and sees it, goes into her room, and looks at herself, and it's like that hardness comes back. And that's what I'm dealing with. And I'm getting a little discouraged. We have three children. I just want to know, I believe God has ordained this marriage, but at the same time, I don't want to be chasing rabbits, per se. And I just wanted this scripture or anything I could pray that you can think of that would help soften her heart and have him take total control of the situation. And I'll let you answer that.
Yeah, Kevin, how long have you been married now?
18 years.
18 years. And did you get married as believers?
Yes, she was a new believer, and I was a believer as well. But I was still struggling with carnality. You know, I was younger, but I wouldn't get married until she received Christ.
Right,
she did, and for the most part, I thought it was a pretty good marriage. But I have had an unforgiving heart at times. I think that's really helped this process begin, the separation. I have repented for that, and I know God has shown me a lot about myself. I don't blame her for a lot of things I used to blame her for, but there's so much hurt, so much pain, and that's all that she's able to think about.
Kevin,
the one rehearsing those things.
Yeah, so let me weigh in here. Obviously, she has no scriptural grounds for divorce, but that's apparently not the biggest issue in her thinking right now, if her heart has gotten hard. You have to put 100% responsibility on your shoulders. It doesn't matter if she's been the best wife or the worst wife. You have to put 100% responsibility on your shoulders with the attitude of Ephesians 5. I'm going to love my wife the way Christ loved the church, and I'm going to give myself for her. You have to now step up to the plate with the determination that divorce is not going to happen because I am going to be the man that my wife needs me to be. Remember, she spent 18 years with you. She's had 3 children with you. As much as she's struggling, if she could have some hope and see in you change, then ultimately her heart would go in the right direction. If you've got to give yourself to prayer to make this the number one priority for God to change you and to change her, you've got to set aside time to fast and seek God's face, whether it's skipping a meal and just say, God, I care about this marriage and I care about my wife more than I care about this meal. And make a determination and make it clear to her, honey, I know I've disappointed you. I'm taking full responsibility for every problem in our marriage, and God will deal with her about her end. That's not the problem. Okay. And I am going to be the man that you've always wanted me to be. I realize where I've fallen short, and if you can convey to her that you understand her viewpoint, that you see through her eyes where you've fallen short, and you're not making excuses for it, and you don't have to say, but you've done this, leave that part out. If you can convey to her in a way that gives understanding, and that she realizes, okay, he gets it. And then say, whatever steps we need to take, we'll take that because you're my wife for life and I love you. And these are our kids that God wants us to raise together. And God hates divorce and we're not going to be casualties. Whether it's sitting down with someone in your church with financial wisdom and working on budgets and planning and looking at things honestly, if you just say, hey, we're going to do it and this marriage is going to work, and then you have to somehow prove yourself to her by taking positive steps, I believe her heart will change. And if there's a message I preached a few years back called Husbands Love Your Wives, and it was how to have blessing in the household and family. And if you can, I assume you have an email address, Kevin?
Yes, I sure do.
Okay. If you can just give Dwight, who's taking our calls today, your email address, he will then email you a link to a message that I preach that I believe will really help solidify these things in terms of your attitude and your approach. And if you'll just step up and be the man that God wants you to be, I believe your marriage can be gloriously saved and the years ahead can be far better than the years behind you. So, Kevin, stay right there. Dwight is going to get your email address, and we will send you a link to listen to this message. And let's pray. Let's pray for Kevin and his wife, Lord, that you would touch them and that you'd work in their hearts and that they would have a marriage that would be a shining example of what it means for a man and woman to love you and to love one another. Father, intervene. May the devil be utterly defeated here as you stand strong on their behalf. In Jesus' name, amen. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. All right, we lost Debbie in Largo, Florida. Her question was one we've had from so many about approaching a relative that says that they're gay and Christian, that they're openly homosexual and practicing homosexuality and followers of Jesus at the same time. Can I encourage you, those that have those questions, to get hold of my DVD series, Can You Be Gay and Christian? It's a 5-DVD series. You can get it through my website, askdrbrown.org. And We go through lots of scriptural issues. There's even a debate I have in that series with the gay activist Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian. You can watch that debate for free on our website. Just go to AskDrBrown.org and type in Knox, K-N-O-X, and it'll take you to a link to watch that. And then on that DVD series, we have practical steps to take towards reaching out to those that say they are gay and Christian. I first and foremost, though, counsel you to really go to God and ask for his heart, because many people who are following Jesus and struggling with same-sex attraction or now justifying their same-sex attraction and saying they're following Jesus at the same time, they've suffered a lot of rejection. They've lived with a sense of condemnation from God. And if you come with lack of a heart of love for them, you'll drive them away. First and foremost, have God's heart of compassion. See if you can relate to them first outside of issues of homosexuality. And then ask, hey, are you willing to follow Jesus no matter what? And then see if you can get into the Word together. We'll be back with your calls and closing year comments from me right here.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I can't believe it. 10 minutes left out of the thousands of hours we have broadcast through the year of 2012. We're down to our last 10 minutes, and we've got special broadcasting coming your way through this week, including, God willing, God helping, broadcast live from Hong Kong. So don't miss a day, and by all means, have a blessed new year in Jesus. Let me go back to the phones, and then I have some closing comments for 2012. Steve in Murray, Utah, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, Dr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
You wrote the book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise?
Yes, sir, 1989.
Oh, that was a good book. I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
You know, I had a comment about the abortion issue that you were discussing earlier.
Yes, sure.
I watched the middle part of a documentary, and I don't have the name of the documentary with me, but it was a documentary about the eugenics movement that started a little over 100 years ago.
Yes.
And they traced all the people from the very beginning of this eugenics movement all the way into Planned Parenthood. The president and all the executives of Planned Parenthood are eugenicists. And I was wondering if you had any more information about that. It was a very alarming documentary.
Yeah, eugenics would basically be manipulating genetic composition of a population that if you can adjust this and adjust this, then you can get improved human beings. Without question, the eugenics movement was something that fueled the fires of Nazism and the idea of the superiority of the Aryan race and the inferiority of other races. It definitely ties in. There's no question that Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was very much pro-eugenics and looked at, for example, a black population as and the poor as weeds that need to be basically torn out of the garden, to paraphrase, and other races and peoples superior. And to this day, even though eugenics, Steve, has been widely repudiate it, and people would not willingly say, yeah, we're part of that, or that's a logical outgrowth of Darwinian evolutionism and survival of the fittest. We do now have genetic engineering where people can try to get designer babies, and the color of the eyes or different aspects of the baby they want like this or like that, and with all of the unnatural ways of having kids. When I say unnatural, I mean in vitro fertilization and things like that, or just sperm banks. I'm not saying in every case that it's wrong, but by and large, we've moved so far away from just natural reproduction. And now you can do abortion based on, I wanted a boy, not a girl, so I'll abort this kid. Well, I wanted a kid that was going to be like this and not like this. How about the fact that the population of children born with Down syndrome is much, much, much lower, because women will have a test to see if they've got a kid with Down syndrome? And if so, about, I think, something like 90% get aborted. One of our friends, he and his wife were going to have a baby. They were in their mid-40s, and she was told, okay, you should have, what is it, amniocentesis, and you know, a test, if I'm correct. Sometimes I get my medical terms wrong. Just have a test to see if you've got a, you know, you're going to have a kid with Down syndrome. You said, why would I want to do that? Well, so you know if you abort the kid. I'm not going to abort the kid. So we have different aspects of it today that remain. And yes, it's dangerous. What I'd encourage you to do, Steve, is get the book by George Grant on Planned Parenthood. Or if you just type in George Grant and Margaret Sanger, he wrote a couple of books, and he'll trace out a lot of the influence of eugenics in that book. And then from there, there'll be other references that you can read as well. Thanks for raising that issue. Paul in Tampa. All right. Paul's not there. Paul, in fact, I was really out of time. So others that are waiting, sorry, I won't get your call. So the last call, means the last call of 2012 was one about eugenics. And I think it's right, because once again, we have an attack on foundations of faith, foundations of life in our culture, in our society. Which way are we going to go? My great hope is that we serve a living God, that Jesus has risen from the dead. Can I be plain? America could be destroyed and not exist as a nation anymore, and the kingdom of God would advance. No, I don't expect that to happen. I don't believe that there are prophecies that America will be wiped out, or because America is not mentioned explicitly in end time prophecy, it means it won't exist. No, I don't personally believe that at all. However, Psalm 46, the mountains could flow into the sea. The whole world could shake, and the kingdom of God is going to go forward. My hope is in a living God. I'm not discouraged. I'm sober. I am not discouraged. I am sober. And I'm calling my brothers and sisters back to the cross, calling my brothers and sisters back to intimacy with the Lord, calling my fellow leaders in the gospel to stand strong for the truth of the gospel, and not to play games, and not to preach a superficial, ear-tickling message, and not to go the way of hyper-grace that really denies the true grace of God. I believe that some desperation is rising from different ones within the body, and we need to find the secret place to encounter God again. We need the power of the Spirit in our lives, and we need a word from heaven, not a new business strategy. Oh, let me read. I'm just looking for, there's so many quotes I've got in front of me. But listen to what Samuel Chadwick and some other Christian leaders said, J.H. Jowett and others. I believe that what the world needs just now is not so much the multiplication of an organization as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have piles of organization, but they lie prone upon the earth, incorporated death. We've got organizations enough to revolutionize the race. It's not more schemes we want, more associations, more meetings. We want the breath and fire of the Holy Spirit. A small organization with breath in it can do the work of an army. Let that be us in this coming year. Friends, if you want to stand with me as I go to Hong Kong and help us with a year-end gift, go to my website right now, askdrbrown.org. Just click on support. Whether it's $1 or $1 million, your gift will be used to advance the gospel, to reach Jewish people, and to stand for moral and cultural revolution in the year 2013. Go to askdrbrown.org and click on support. My bottom line today, it is not too late to do the will of God. It is not too late to see radical change come to America. It's not too late to see radical change come to your life. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears.